there's nothing that can replace a local church. You know that. The meeting corporately, the seeing your faces, and all. So I am thankful for what we have here today, to getting out to you guys. This is our third week in a remote location in Cambridge, Ohio. And once again, I'm thankful for having this place. I'm thankful for you tuning in and inviting other people to tune in. A couple things I want to share with you. When I think of our local church, like I mentioned last week, I can visualize everywhere you're sitting. So I'm going to make mention of you guys. And as I make mention of the people that come to our local church, keep them in thought and prayer. Many of us are struggling with some things, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's jobs, whether it's just life in general. It seems like life's not fair. But there is one fair thing, and that is our life in Christ Jesus. And he gives us life and a hope that surpasses all understanding, if you will. So as I go down the line, I'm actually visualizing you guys sitting there, Walt and Barb Wagner. You know, they've been under the weather for a while. And I think of Jim and Walt and Tom and Barb and my wife Sherry and my mother-in-law when she shows up. She's there. And then I think of Maggie and Sydney and Emily and Easton and Weston and Maddie and Benny and Denzel and Nancy when they come, Stephanie and Abby, Howard and Julie, and Jacob and Dan and Tony, Leon and Chris and Danny and Olivia and Logan and Reagan. They're watching in Kentucky area, but they're just as much a part of our local church as you can be. Anyway, just keep them in thought and prayer. And many of you that's watching today, I feel for you. There's some things that may be going on in your life that, I don't understand what's going on with you. But all we can do is lift you up in prayer, lift you up to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And so we think about the people that are listening and the people that are grasping for understanding of your word. As we live in seems like a very dark time, that we know that without you in this world, it is dark. And it has been dark. But we, who are members of the body of Christ, that understands that you died and was buried and rose again for our sins, that we are the light in this dark world, and we can be a beacon of what you are doing today. And as people search and wonder what is going on, we need to look to your word and find out some things. And Lord, as we think about as a study we're doing today in the book of Daniel, even though it's a book that Daniel had written to the nation Israel, explaining the dark days and ages to come, we may even be able to gleam on some things. And as we mention to you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I know on the onslaught, if you go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, if you want to give to the ministry, there is a donation button there. I haven't figured out how to make a donation button on Facebook. But at our church, we don't pass the plate. But we do have a basket, if you will, so you do pass the basket coming and going, and everything is given to the ministry goes towards the tracks, the internet, and all, and getting equipment like this. So if you feel free, if you're being fed, give. If you're not being fed, that's okay. We still want you to tune in. We still want you to be here, you know, that type of thing. So anyway, you have to be fed in order to feed others. But if you will, be turning to Daniel chapter 8. And I do once again thank Grace School of Bible. Once again, I graduated in 2004 of Grace School of Bible. It's a 3-year Bible school. And I use the curriculum that I was taught in the school at teaching you today. I do believe that we need to be able to teach others so they can teach others. So as you learn and you study some things out, I hope you're being able to teach others with this message of grace. And what we're doing. So we're in lesson 50, Be turning to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. And we're going to be doing a lot of turning today, so just be prepared. I hope you have your Bible and a pen and all, or you can just listen to it later on and catch up on your verses. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 21, the last lesson, we covered some information in chapter 8 regarding the Antichrist to help us identify and locate who he is. Now, we understand he's an Assyrian from Assyria. And the Antichrist is a Syrian Jew. He's not going to be anything else but a Jew, okay? He's going to convince the people there. And the part of the world where he comes out of is Syria. And that ought to tell us something about the political affairs of the day. And when we talk about, and we have talked about, Daniel chapter 7, that the Antichrist cannot come tomorrow, despite of what you're looking out there and the signs are coming. He cannot come tomorrow. He didn't come yesterday. Okay? You think about, people said Ronald Wilson Reagan, you know, was the Antichrist. People think in the last administration, President Barack Hussein Obama was the Antichrist. A lot of people think today Donald J. Trump is the Antichrist. That's not true, guys. That's not true. And he cannot show up tomorrow. And we have shown you that he comes up after the 10 federation kingdoms are established and 10 kings takes over, and then the Antichrist comes up through there. And it's going to take place over there in ages to come, by the way. So you're not looking for him tomorrow, and yet you begin to look from where he comes from in a part of the world. So you can look from where he's coming out of. And in this lesson that we're about to do is lesson 50. And it's about the Antichrist, because that is what verse 25 is about. So Daniel chapter 8, verse 21. Let's start there. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance, an understanding darkened sentence, shall stand up. That's the tribulation period over here, the wrath that's going to pour down over there. It's not here in the dispensation of grace. So you need to understand what Daniel is talking about from way back over there. But when we started the book of Daniel, Daniel is describing the times of the Gentiles. And he lists the countries and the kings that's taking place over the world, over the nation Israel. Israel's in captivity, by the way. We're still in the times of the Gentiles. Even in the dispensation of grace, God, if you don't mind me saying this, God is not on the throne in Jerusalem right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile. Okay? That's where he's at. The world rejected him. So verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. Now, last lesson, we was talking about how the Antichrist and in tribulation will seek to destroy the nation Israel. Now, last week we had some issues with some audio, so my wife is scrambling back there. If you know the audio goes out, I do apologize. I'm hoping with new batteries, everything's okay. So just be patient with us. Maybe you can read my lips, but it is also I'm recording it, audio that it will be on our website. The audio in. But verse 25, Daniel. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the princes, but he shall be broken without a hand. Now, who is that prince of pieces? Princess, sorry, not pieces. Princesses.
Satan. No, the Antichrist.
The big P.
Oh, the prince of peace.
Yeah, the prince of peace. That princess is Christ. And the verse tells you several things about the Antichrist that you ought to remember. Now notice that through his policies, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and peace shall destroy many. Have you ever heard of a peace policy? Yes, I'm sure you have. And this guy has a policy, and the policy resolves in craft prospering. Okay, he's going to manufacture stuff. And at last lesson, we got a message from Brother Tom that was listening, and he asked a question about the understanding dark sentences. And I believe that was in verse 23 that we read, but I think it's right there in his policy. The understanding dark sentences is in within that policy that he's going to prosper, that he's going to put out. But what the craft is that he's going to manufacture and prosper with is idolatry. And the Antichrist in the tribulation is going to have big business in making idols and images of himself and selling those relics to people. That's what he's going to do. He's going to convince people, this is who I am. I'm God. I'm the Messiah. And he's going to have everything lined up on people's walls, and people's going to start worshiping that image. That's what idolatry is. And he comes up and he imagines, he's going to sit in the holy place over there when the temple's built up, and so on. But first, you need a policy. Now, hold your thought pattern there for a minute and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. Go back one book to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, starting with verse 12. Okay? Starting with verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Now, who was in the Eden, the garden of God? You had God, you had Adam and Eve, and you had who? Satan. And this is who he's talking about here. Every precious stone was thy covering, and they named them. And there was pipes was prepared in the day, in the day thou was created. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covered. Satan was anointed cherubim, okay? He was a Christ. He was anointed Christ. That's why we talk about the Antichrist and all. And thou hast set thou so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in the thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. He's telling him that he has a multitude of merchandise. That's what this Antichrist is going to be doing over here in ages to come. He's going to be merchandising things. And thy heart was lifted up. Because of thy beauty. Thou was corrupted by thy wisdom, by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, he was telling them. Verse 18, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by multitudes of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. See, he's trafficking things here. Ezekiel's talking about this over here also, that Daniel's talking about. So don't be, when he comes on the scene over there, he's going to be selling things, guys. And that's what I want to do. By the multitude of thy merchandise. It's going to be big business for the Antichrist. Hey, well, I'm gonna move on a little bit, but I'll touch bases on this a little bit. There's people out there trying to sell things and try to merchandise things in this dark time right now. But he says, going back to Daniel chapter 8, he says, by peace he will destroy many. And that has led, you know, that has led people to believe in the first week of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there's going to be peace, peace. But that's not true, guys. There are going to be years of peace, of course, but there's a constant turmoil out there. And when the Antichrist does come in, he's a sovereign conflicts. That's why he rises up amongst them. And to start out the week, if you remember in Revelation chapter 6, he's got one crown on his head. But by the middle of the week, over here, by the middle of the week, he has 10 crowns. And he goes forth and conquers those 10 kingdoms. He has gone out conquering, and he's going to conquer. And he's doing it through warfare. That's not peace. He's taking over. But he has a peace policy and a peace program. And there's an activity that's going on there, if you think about it. Notice that he says, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Now, if you remember, that magnifying in his heart is Revelation chapter 13. Please remember this, guys. There's a government in Romans chapter 13 that God ordained. And then there's a government over here in Revelation 13 that Satan's going to take part of, okay? He's going to control this. Believe the God, the creator, okay? Don't believe the God of this world. And as we read in Ezekiel, and then he speaks with great swelling words against the Most High. He's going to convince the people in that turmoil and stuff that he is God, but he's also going to speak evil against God the Creator in the heaven places. If you remember Daniel chapter 7, as we studied, because of thy voice of great words which the horn spake, and all these great words that are sent out are against the Most High. He's going to speak evil and blaspheme against God the Creator. And he's going to exalt himself and put God out of the picture. Now that's his plan from the beginning, guys. If you know your Bible, the main theme of the Bible is about a throne over the whole entire universe. Okay? That's the theme of the Bible. Who is going to control the whole universe? And if you know your Bible, you know that Satan had blown a fuse, if you will, and corrupted 1/3 of the angelic beings in the first and second heaven, not where God is. And he controls that. So he's known as the prince and the power of the air. But he also is the god of this world, the little g. And he has power, and he's controlling that. And he thinks he is it. Listen, he's a liar from the beginning. And he's going to deny everything that we're talking about. And if he can convince you outside of dispensation of grace and convince you that you need to live in the prophetic program and under law, he's doing a good job. I digress. But look, how does he use flattering words? And this guy is going to use peace to conquer a kingdom. Go to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. We know there's a lot of politicians out there, if you don't mind me saying this, uses flattering words and be able to speak, you know, beyond measure, if you will, to convince us that they know what they're talking about. Hey, listen. I believe the Word of God. I have a King James Bible. It's written in 6th grade English. Now, there's some steps that I miss in preschool and kindergarten, stuff like that. So I know you love me enough to help me get through some of these spellings and pronouncing the words. Many of you are probably smiling and sniggering right now. You know what I'm talking about. But as a profession, I'm a special commodities relocation engineer, a truck driver. And there's some things in the Word of God that I can pick up, that this old truck driver can understand from the Word of God, the simplicity of it, without making flattering words and tell you that I've got a degree in this and this and this. It's not about that. It's about keeping it simple. And I'm not going to say it sound ugly and stuff. We've had people with PhDs sit on the front of our row that couldn't get over a little word named by. By the cross things happen, not, and at the cross it happened. So sometimes we can get caught up in our own human viewpoint that we know more than God. Well, you might as well shake that off. You know, I tell people all the time in this day and age, from the fifth grade, if you will, all the way up through college, they're teaching you what they want you to know. And they deny the word of God. And that's scary, guys. Just keep it simple. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peacefully and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. See that? Flatteries. He's coming in there. You better be careful. There's a lot of people will control you with flatteries. Okay? I know my wife's heart was fluttering when I was talking with her back in the day. Sometimes I think it still flutters. My heart still flutters, but being quarantined, that's a challenge. Sorry, that's a challenge. You know, I'm like, open the window and fly away, bird. But notice how he's going to obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Verse 22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. The prince of the covenant is the fellow who makes the covenant, and then he is broken. He dies. Okay? Guy comes in, he makes a covenant, he dies. Verse 23. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And he shall enter peacefully even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his father hath not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and the riches. Yea, he shall forecast his device against the strong folks, even holds even for a time. Now this guy is going to come in and come up and do something his fathers and forefathers never did. Now, if you remember what their fathers did, okay, they destroyed and consumed the land. That's what they did against nation Israel. But what is this guy is going to do is come up among the fattest part of the land. And what does he do? He divides the prey and the riches among the people. And he does it in a peaceful means with flattering words. Now, I can't help to think that, once again, I don't want to sound political, but there's people out there would love nothing more to come against the fattest part of the land and distribute things out amongst all the people. You get me? That's a form of, well, let's move on. Communist? But anyway, let's move on a little bit. But look, he comes up against that. He comes up with a peace program and he stops an armed conflict in the Middle East and saves the land and saves the day. Everybody's going to get their share. Everybody's going to be fed. Everybody's going to get this and that. And when he does this, everyone falls down before him and hails him as the mighty hero. We need that. We're in a time of despair. It's kind of scary, guys. There, you know something about conflicts? There's never been a time that they haven't been war against nations. You are aware of that, aren't you? There's wars going on right now. Little countries against little countries. Big countries against little countries and so on. And since the big countries are not at war with each other right now, that don't mean there's peace everywhere. Now, on a side note, this COVID-19 that everybody is talking about and having fun with and serious. This is serious. But look, it's being labeled as a major global what? War. And I can say this with love. Any virus can be deadly and put a strain on your natural body. But you know your body, and you should know the things that you put in and what you can do, and you know what to do. In a way that you're gonna. If I'm sick and coughing and hacking and nose running, I'm not coming out amongst the people. I'm gonna stay at home. But what I'm not going to believe, and many of you may turn me off at this time, but I apologize if you do. I'm not gonna believe a media, okay, and that wants to make us surpass all the nations of the world with all these viruses past the country that it came out of. Does that make sense? No? Yes? May? No? Maybe? That country that this virus came out of is a state-run country. They're not going to tell you everything. Okay? So when they say we surpassed all that country, I don't believe that. But look, that's me. Media can make your mind do things. This word of God should be controlling your mind and the decisions we make, okay? That's why if you don't be careful, you're going to allow your emotions run with what's being said around you, and you're going to go out and buy 16 cases of toilet paper, you know? And don't forget, you know, forget about everybody else. You're going to make a run on things, and that's scary. That's what scares me. So, in other words, you know you've got to have toilet paper. You know you've got to have water. You know you've got to have bread and things. Just prepare yourself and all. But anyway, let's move on. I digress. Look, but you know how things would go if there was a big conflict, which just seems like a big conflict, and someone came to be the peacemaker and save the day. That scares me more than anything. You know, it scares me the fact that there's some guy might rise up and say, hey, I'm going to take care of you, you know, that type of thing. But think about this. Everyone would hail him, wouldn't they? Yeah. If the world was at a major war right now, like in World War I, World War II, a big major conflict, and some guy came up, the world would just hail him because this guy's going to take over. This is how the Antichrist is going to take over. Let's get back to here. Go be turning to Psalms chapter 55. Psalms chapter 55. And this is how where he gets it. He doesn't have a military, so to speak. He takes over with peace. And the passage where we're going to look at is talking about the Antichrist. And Psalms chapter 55. Psalms chapter 55. Psalms chapter 55. Let death, verse 15. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quickly into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Now death and hell are in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. Death and hell is following him. See, the Antichrist, it's going to follow him. Over here. But people's just going to be blind, deaf, and dumb. They're going to follow him. Because why? He saved the day. Verse 20. Psalms 55, verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet were they drawn, what? Swords. He talks peace, guys, to get his leadership. And he gets his power, and then he takes over. There's a war. And he does it, he deceives the nation Israel. Because why? The temple's built back. And they're going back under the sacrifices and stuff over here. And he comes in, he makes a covenant with them, and then he breaks the covenant. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And what he does, he comes in and by good words and fair speeches, he makes a covenant with Israel, established the peace, and they think that he's the Savior. Boy, are they mistaken. And is just using it to control them, and then he's going to run all over them. Okay? He's going to take all over them. Listen, when Daniel wrote this, they was in captivity. And for 70 years, they was in captivity. And Daniel kept his stand with the Word of God. Okay? They're going to use the Word of God over here to understand the things that's going on in that time. Just like you and I have the Word of God through Romans, through Philemon, to us to help us understand what God is doing today. Go to Revelation chapter 6 and get Acts chapter 19. Revelation chapter 6 and Acts chapter 19. I just want you to see one verse in Revelation chapter 6. So if you're not there, that's okay. But I do want you to go to Acts chapter 19. Revelation chapter 6 verse 2 says, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to what? Conquer." Now notice, what does he have? He's sitting on a horse, but what does he have? A bow. Does a bow scare you? You know, I see bow flexes and exercises, and they're like building you up and using them. I'm like, okay, there's some resistance to that, right? You can use that. But if you have a bow, what needs to go with that bow?
An arrow.
Arrows, very good. Arrows. He has a bow, but what? You don't see no arrows here. So that is peace. He's not bringing threatening things to you. He's going to bring peace. But he has a peace policy, and his arrows are what? Hid. Dark understandings, Tom. You know, it's in there. It's hiding in there. Okay, and he has a bow, but he holds up the bow, and nobody sees the arrows. And he goes forth conquering and to conquer, and that's the beginning of the 70th week. And then when he shows up with one of the crowns, he subdues the other three, and he gets all 10 under that policy. And then he goes out after the rest of the world, the nations. That's the peace aspect of that policy, if you will. And when he talks about his craft prospering in Daniel chapter 8, what he is talking about is an idolatrous craft of making idols, and it's something similar to Acts chapter 19 that I told you to go to. If you remember, Paul is in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus, an idolatrous nation. They worshipped a rock and Diana. But he also writes the book of Corinthians to the Corinthians, which if you know the book of Corinthians in the body of Christ, it's a book of reproof, reproofing their behavior because they wasn't doing things in their life pertaining to God's righteousness, okay? And they was doing some strange behavior things. So Paul writes this to reproof them, spanking them, smack them around, if you will. But look at verse 9, chapter 19, verse 20. It says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." You know, even verse 19, you know what they're doing in verse 19? "Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." You know what they're doing there? They're burning the book. The people are destroying their heathen books and relics. The people that's selling books against what God was doing, selling books against making crafts, idolatry and stuff like that, and idols. What do these people do? They're burning them because they're believing the word of God. They're believing the gospel, the grace of God that Paul spoke to that heathen nation, and they're burning them. And now look in verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about their way. No small stir. What was that? You know what that means?
People are mad.
They're starting to riot because they're losing money. They're losing their craft. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines to Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our what? Wealth." So they're making those crafts or idolatry. Even in Acts chapter 19, even in that heathen country of Ephesus, where Paul establishes church there, by the way, and he writes a letter, Ephesians, which is a wonderful book about the advanced mystery truths, doctrine book, that tells you about where we're seated in the heavenly places. Now, if you're having some issues today and wonder what, read, sorry, read the book of Ephesians. Better take me a drink of water. Quarantine. getting hot on the collar. Bear with me. Go to verse 27. Just lost my voice. Okay. Very interesting. We had a power surge, and it really knocked everything out. And, you know, the Prince of Power of the Air, I tell you, when you got a message going on, first my throat, but anyway, and then the power. So I hope that you're back up. It's, Sherry, will you check the right here to see if anybody's on? Okay, very good. Okay, we'll continue. We're in Acts chapter 19, and I want to kind of finish this thought, if you can get by, that you did have a bathroom break or something. You know, that was a commercial break. But, you know, we're just ordinary people, you know that. We just love the Word of God. What's that one saying? We're imperfect people trusting in a perfect Savior. So he does give us liberty, and we can enjoy ourselves. We're, you know, even behind the scenes and in the scenes, you just be who you are in Christ Jesus. But in Acts chapter 19, as we was reading, verse 25, we talk about no stir away. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana shall be deprived. So he is talking about Paul coming in with a gospel, and then the idolatry start going out the door. You know, so that's the way it should be. When you start to understand who you are in Christ Jesus and you hear the glorious gospel, all this stuff we thought that was God, our gods, should go out the door. And that's what happened when people hear this glorious gospel, the grace of God. Idolatrism, relics, business, that business that we thought we was doing business with should go out. And people begin to understand the issues of grace and how that you're saved by grace plus nothing. Listen, guys, if this camera goes off again, and maybe I can get this in right quick, that the main issue today is you being saved. You being right with God, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing word of God, that Christ died for your sins, at Calvary, was buried, and he rose again the third day. You trust that plus nothing else. You're saved, sealed, and sanctified. You set yourself apart in the Word of God. Now, you can still have fun out there. I have fun every day in my life. But the real issue is what's going on with you and God Almighty. And there's a mediator between God and man. And you don't need all that other stuff, those relics, the religious system and all. These heathens are seeing that, and they're going, and then they're not going up to the temple of Dionysus no more. You know, that's a good thing. They're believing what God says, and they shed off all that old stuff, and this guy's getting upset because it's messing with his what? Prophets and all. And his income is getting cut down. You start messing with people's income out there when they'll come after you. You have no friends. You know, that's why you invest in the right message, in the dispensation grace. You invest in this local church, if you will, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You guys know me. I don't sugarcoat nothing when it comes to the Word of God. I may ramble on about the Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Indians and things like that, but the thing is, when it comes to the Word of God, I'm not sugarcoating it, because you need to know the truth. That comes out of there. Because the craftsmen's in the Bible, over and over, and they use that kind of sense. So sometimes when you read Revelation chapter 18, verse 11, you will see that these are the men, the merchants of the earth. Go back to Daniel chapter 8. The merchants of the earth, they wail and bemoan on the death of the Antichrist and the fall of Babylon over and over and over. And there's a tremendous center of wealth being made through that idolatry system. If they can get you to buy into that system, buy into the books, buy into their pictures, buy into their temples, buy into their businesses, you know, they're going to continue to grow and grow and grow. We talk about the one world order all the time. That's a part of all that stuff. But look, when the image of the Antichrist goes up, the image goes up all over. When that Antichrist comes up and he starts prophesying and starts crafting in this stuff, that image is going to go all over the world, not just in a certain country, not just in the, you know, if we thought, I grew up in a time where communist bloc countries had their own God, okay? They made their own gods and all. And you could see that. No, this is going to go up all over and will be the activity of the day. So the Antichrist, still out there, so the Antichrist is going to magnify himself with great swelling words. Man, people's going to have itchy ears and start listening to him and not listen to the Word of God. Listen, you know as well as I know, Satan don't like the preachers today preaching the dispensation of the grace of God, especially right divided. He don't mind you preaching about Jesus Christ and him crucified, but when he talks about the fact that you need to separate yourself and that God programmed today is going to be seated in the heavenly places, not on earth, which we'll talk about maybe later on in another day, but he's going to come in with a peace policy. The Prince of Peace is where today? He's in royal exile. And you and I should know what the Word of God says and bring peace throughout the land. God, Corinthians chapter 5 talks about, to wit, God is with peace. He's not imputing trespasses and sin. He's with peace with the world today. But you and I, to have that peace where he's one day he's coming back, and it's not going to look like a pretty picture when he comes back, if I might say. Daniel chapter 8. Hope I wasn't too confusing. But Romans chapter 8, verse 25. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. That's what we've been talking about. In other words, there will be peace. He will be exalted, and people will worship him. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and the peace shall destroy many. And he uses that to take over and run things, guys. And here's the end of the thing. He shall also stand up against the prince of what?
Princes.
And he shall be broken without hand. This guy will have armies upon armies upon armies of the earth. And we will see that the Antichrist is going to be literally on the earth, professing himself to be God. We looked at that over and over and over. Isaiah 14 tells you the five I wills. Thessalonians, Paul tells the Thessalonians, I told you these things, that these things had to take place. The Antichrist will sit on the temple in Jerusalem as God. You know, that's his fruition, if you will. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come out of the heavens, and there's going to be a war like no other war you ever seen. Hollywood has never produced a movie that's going to take place that starts in the heavens when God rolls up the heavens as a scroll and dumps them on the earth. The whole heaven's going to be cleared, especially the ones that Satan is in control with today. You may not understand that, but you can call me, you can email me, you can text me and say, what do you mean about the heavens? I thought there was one heavens. No, there's three heavens. The blue sky that you see out there is first heaven. Where the stars is the second heaven. Where God is the third heaven. Okay? And Satan is the prince and power of the air. He controls that first and second heaven. We know he's the god of this world as we keep talking. Don't forget about this, guys. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come into the heavens, and he's going to come down, and you're going to see over and over and over what he's going to do. He's going to cleanse that as he comes down to the earth. And it's always the bad guys invading the earth, as in the movies, right? You got the aliens coming. Well, Jesus Christ, here's something you think about right quick. In that midweek, when he blasphemes and he talks evil against God, he looks up, the heavens are open. He can see God, and people can see him. And he's not looking like he did as in Psalms of Solomon chapter 5. If you really want to know what Jesus Christ looked like on this earth, you got to read Song of Solomon chapter 5. He's not coming back meek and mild. He's coming back with fire and vengeance and eyes that's going to be glowing. And he's going to be carrying a pitchfork. You heard me say this time and time again. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 says whose fan is in his hand. That fan, if you look at, is a pitchfork. If you remember anything back in the day when you visited your grandma and grandpa's farm, they had this, looked like a fan up on the wall, and that was the pitchfork, whose fan is in his hand. He's coming down. He's going to clean house. He's going to take place of these things. And Jesus Christ is going to come back down through the universe, and when he does, he's going to kick Satan out of the universe and back to this earth. This is their final resting place, if you will. This is their only final thing. But the rapture of the church is going to take place prior to that. We're going to be caught out. You only find that through Paul's epistle. Okay? So, if you think about that, the rapture has anything to do with the prophetic program that we're talking about here. It's something that was hidden in God. So God takes us out of here prior to that beginning. And that's a very strong doctrine that I believe and we teach and we hold to. Okay? That's where I draw lines with people. Okay? I can be friends with you, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. So it's raptured out of here. God don't need us to stand by and walk through the tribulation period to help Israel out to understand what God's doing in the ages to come. He's got 144,000, 12 of each tribe, okay, that's going to be preachers, that's going to be 18 years, they're going to be male virgins, preachers, never been defiled themselves, and you can't harm them, and they're going to go out preaching to the world over there that they don't need us. We're going to be raptured out of here so we can be placed in those positions where Satan had control of. So, I will end there. I can go on and on and on. I know you had a few minutes by yourself to regather your thoughts, but I'll try to paste this together and get that up to you. Once again, you can visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. If you want to donate towards the ministry, there is a donate button there. The message will be audio on there, so you can go back and listen to that. But until next week, we trust that you trust Christ Jesus for your Lord and Savior. Just rest in who He is. Enjoy yourself. Read your Bible. Study it. And know that He is Lord. Okay? And we probably see you this time next week. Amen.